1 through 3. Luke writes, in my former book, talking about the Gospel of Luke, in my former book, Theopolis, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Lord in Christ, we invite you into our time together. Reveal yourself to us. Like you were with Isaac and people noticed and knew that you were blessing him, we ask that your Holy Spirit would be with us today. Lord in Christ, we honor you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's a bulletin in your outline if you'd like to follow along. Number one, the kingdom context of Luke-Acts. The kingdom context of Luke and Acts. Luke, the physician, wrote both the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, and they are deeply connected. If you read the Gospel of Luke, a good thing to do would be go straight into the book of Acts. You have my permission to come back to John if you so choose. And he had a purpose in doing this. He wanted to show that Jesus is the new king in both Luke and Acts. And in both Luke and Acts, he wanted to reveal Jesus' kingdom. He spoke to them about the kingdom of God. Now, King David is mentioned 13 times in the book of Luke. King David is mentioned 11 times in the book of Acts. Luke views Jesus as the fulfillment of the Davidic promise. He sees Jesus as the new king bringing in the kingdom. And he compares him to David. He is the fulfillment of David in 2 Samuel 7:16. Speaking about David, saying, your house or your line and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. Luke, in his book, in the book of Luke and the book of Acts, he is building a case for Jesus as this Davidic king whose kingdom will last forever. Luke is building a theology of Jesus in both of his books as him reigning as king, as him reigning as Lord right now, that his kingdom has come in the person of Jesus. Luke chapter 1, verses 32 and 33, speaking about Jesus, the prophecy before he was born, he will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Again, we have Luke building the case with the words that he chose to add to his gospel, that Jesus is this king who has a kingdom that will last forever. Luke chapter 2, verses 11, is the Christmas story very familiar to us. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So in both Luke and Acts, over and over again, you will see the words David, you will see the words Savior, you will see the words Christ, you will see the words Lord. David, Savior, Christ, Lord. Repeat, David, Savior, Christ, Lord, over and over again in his books. This will be his theme. Christ meaning Messiah, Christ meaning King. And when he calls him Lord, it's a very political statement. When he says, you are Lord, everyone in the Roman society was saying Caesar is Lord. So when he was saying Jesus is Lord, he was saying Caesar is not. David, Savior, Christ, Lord. Number two, the book of Acts is about God establishing his kingdom through Christ. The book of Acts is about God establishing his kingdom through Christ. Acts chapter 1, verse 3, one more time. After his resurrection, before his ascension, he appears to his disciples. Jesus appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke to them about the kingdom of God. Jesus could have spoke to them about anything during those 40 days, but he had one topic. He had one topic during his earthly ministry, and now that he is the risen Lord, he still has one topic, the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 1, verse 3 is at the beginning of the book. He's speaking about the kingdom of God. And you can go all the way through the book and get to the end of the book, Acts chapter 28, verses 30 through 31. We get to the Apostle Paul now, who is preaching about Christ. For two whole years, Paul stayed there. He's in Rome. He's in prison. He's under house arrest. For two whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord. There's that word again. Jesus Christ. There's that word again. With all boldness and without hindrance. So from the very beginning to the very end of the book, Luke is painting a picture as Christ is the king over his kingdom, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God through Lord Jesus Christ is the bookends of the book of Acts. Starts out the book, Acts 1 verse 3, all the way to the very end in Acts 28, they're still speaking about the kingdom of God. This is no accident. Luke chose his words carefully. I read this week, that it probably cost about $4,000 a day for Luke to get the finances to write this book. Writing materials and doing this type of work was very expensive in today's dollars, they estimate. So he chooses his words very carefully. He's preaching about Jesus is the king, and he's preaching about his kingdom, the kingdom of God. He preaches the kingdom of God has come through Christ from the very beginning all the way through his book. And specifically, the kingdom has come through Christ through his death and resurrection. Through his death and resurrection. You'll see that pattern over and over again in Luke and in Acts, that the kingdom of God has come through Jesus' death and resurrection. The kingdom of God and the resurrection of Christ for Luke will almost become synonymous. It will be very, when he says resurrection, he means the kingdom of God, and when he says the kingdom of God, he means the resurrection of Christ. The kingdom of God and the Lord Jesus Christ will become equals for Luke. He will use them interchangeably throughout his book because the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ are at the center of the kingdom. What's at the center of the kingdom of God? The death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's nothing else at the center. We get caught up with fads many times, and we get caught up in different things in the church world, but nothing else is at the center of the kingdom of God but the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So resurrection comes to mean not just that Easter day. It includes that, but it is just not that. When Luke says resurrection, he means the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension to the right hand of God and Jesus ruling on the throne over the kingdom of God. It includes all of that. Every time you read resurrection, especially in Luke, it includes all of that. But even in Paul and Paul's writings and Peter's writings, when they say resurrection, all of that is included. The resurrection from the dead of Jesus Christ, the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and to the ascension of the right hand of the throne of God. One of the last song we just sang, he's enthroned. He's king. He's Christ. He's Messiah. He is the king. The resurrection of Christ is the key to his enthronement. What's that song we sing? You came from heaven to earth to show the way. That song is very theological. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, Jesus is Lord, Caesar is not. Lord, we lift your name on high. You're Lord, you're President, you're Prime Minister, you're King of Kings, you're Lord of Lords. So implied in the resurrection is the ascension. That to Christ is Lord. It is all one motion. God has brought his kingdom to earth by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ. So resurrection becomes a central theme in Luke's writings, in Luke and Acts. Did you know Luke wrote most of the New Testament? Word for word, word count, if you wanted to do word count. We think it's Paul, but word count, Luke wrote 27% of the New Testament. 27% of the words are by Luke. And his words are resurrection, and kingdom, and David, and Christ, and Lord, and Savior. 27% of the New Testament are those words, those themes. Go through and read the Gospel of Luke. Go through and read the book of Acts, and highlight every time you read about the resurrection. It's in there over and over and over again. And when you read about the resurrection of Christ, you should think Christ is king. Not just resurrection, that he's alive, that it includes that, but you should think he is king, reigning in his kingdom. Lord, we lift your name on high. Number three. You never find the mention of tongues in the scripture without first mentioning Jesus is Lord. You can underline never if you want to. You never find the mention of tongues in the scripture without first mentioning Jesus is Lord. I discovered this week, was taught that this week, and was amazed by that this week, so I thought I would pass it along to you. Many people think the book of Acts is about tongues. It includes that, but it's not about tongues. It's about Jesus is Lord and the kingdom of God. We are a Pentecostal church. You will hear people speak in tongues in our church from time to time. I don't want those that are new to Pentecost or teenagers, when they're here, to run out the door. Some of them will listen to this sermon online and this week. So I want to teach what the scripture says about tongues, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. When Christ poured out his Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, on the church, they began to speak in tongues. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. It says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. This is after Jesus has ascended, King of Kings. Now Jesus is pouring out his Holy Spirit. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Tongues are Christ-centered. Tongues are King Jesus-centered. It says, if you keep reading Acts 2, it says the people heard them praising God in their own languages. When you speak in tongues, you are praising Jesus as Lord. Tongues. Languages. Tongues, languages represent nations. We speak in different tongues all around the world. So tongues and languages represent different nations. So tongues was a sign given that the Holy Spirit has been poured out on all people. For what purpose? To show that Jesus is Lord of the nations. To show that Jesus is Lord of every tongue. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So tongues are not weird. Some people who speak in tongues are weird, but tongues are not weird. They are miraculous, but they are proclaiming that Jesus is Lord of the nations. Tongues are the initial sign of Jesus as Lord to show that he is Lord of every nation. No other sign signifies Jesus is Lord like tongues, like languages. He is Lord of all. So tongues is a response to Christ's reign. It is a response. It is not the reign. Some people are just seeking tongues, but tongues is not the reign. It is our response to the reign of Christ. So the baptism in the Holy Spirit, Christ pouring out his Holy Spirit on his church, is our empowerment to go tell the world that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is ruling and reigning. Tongues is another avenue to praise the exalted King. Tongues is another way for us to lift up the name of Jesus and hail him as King. The baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues is vertical. It is praise to Jesus. The baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of tongues is horizontal, to go out and tell people that Jesus is King. From the very beginning of the what we call the Pentecostal movement in the 1900s, we have always gone out to tell the nations, because we believe that's what tongues is about. It's about Jesus being Lord over the nations. So the Pentecostal church, the Assemblies of God, is the fastest growing church in the world, statistically speaking. Because we believe that Jesus is Lord of the nations, and we've been empowered to tell the nations in every tongue that he is Lord. So tongues are our response to the reign of Christ. So Jesus, as the risen Lord, is gifting his church with his Spirit. Not gifting us with tongues, that's not the end goal. He's gifting us with his Spirit, and we respond to Lord Jesus through prayer, through praise, through this gift of tongues. Tongues is the response. It is our praise to Jesus as Lord. Tongues is not the thing. Jesus is the thing. And the gift of his Holy Spirit is the thing that we seek, that we desire. So Jesus is the fulfillment of the Davidic kingship. David ruled and reigned over Israel as royalty, but Jesus comes along and he expands his rule, his reign, to the whole world, to every nation, to every tongue. The baptism in the Holy Spirit with tongues is about his reign over the nations. Acts chapter 2, verse 12. This amazes and perplexes people. When you hear the gift of the Holy Spirit being poured out and people being filled with the Holy Spirit, and it was no different for the Israelites who were there that day in Jerusalem, who were speaking in different languages. They heard people speaking in the languages of the towns that they were from. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" What does this mean? I try to explain from scriptures every time we have a tongue and interpretation of tongues here in scripture, because I know somebody's saying, what in the world's going on? What does this mean? Well, I'll tell you what it means in one sentence. This is what it means. It means Jesus is Lord of the nations. That's what it means. Number four. Be assured of this. Jesus is Lord and King. Be assured of this. Jesus is Lord and King. Acts 2:36. That their question was, what does this mean? Well, Peter stands up and says, all right, and gives a few words. Then he answers their question. In Acts 2:36, he answers those Israelites. They're all Israelites, but from different parts of the world, spoke different languages. Now they hear people speaking in their own tongues, and Peter's going to answer their question, what does this mean? In Acts 2:36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah, both Lord and King. That's the answer to the question. What does this mean? Be assured of this. This Jesus whom we've crucified is both Lord and King. Luke wrote his letter to Theophilus. We read that in verses 1 through 3. Theophilus. Most likely he might have been the one who was footing the bill to have this book written. But his name also means lover of God. Lover of God. So Theophilus, lover of God. This is what you need to know. Jesus is Lord and Messiah. So if you are assured that Jesus is Lord and Messiah, and Luke has told you that, the scriptures have told you that, that he is King, you need to receive the gift of his baptism and his Holy Spirit. If you are a lover of God, receive Christ's baptism in his Holy Spirit. And his Spirit will aid you in praising Jesus as Lord and King. If you have a difficult time praising Jesus, ask for his Holy Spirit to fill you. And he will aid you in praising him. His Spirit will also empower you to go and tell others that Jesus is Lord and King. If you have difficulty telling people about Jesus, living for Jesus, ask him to fill you for the first time, or ask him to fill you for the 500th time with his Holy Spirit. If we confess that Jesus is Lord, we are Christ followers, then the baptism in the Holy Spirit is for you. We are not better than Christians who do not teach this. We are not worse than Christians who do not teach this. They are our brothers and sisters in Christ, but we believe there is a distinction, and we keep that distinction, that we believe salvation comes through the name of Jesus and he breathes on us his Holy Spirit, but there is a second work of grace where he baptizes us believers in his Holy Spirit. We do want to take the weird out of Pentecost. We do want to do that. And we do that by saying it is Christ-centered. When you are speaking in tongues, you are praising Jesus Christ as Lord. And number five. Anticipate that Jesus will baptize you in his Holy Spirit. Desire, anticipate, expect that Jesus will baptize you in his Holy Spirit. This is for you. And Jesus is the baptizer. He's the one who pours out, and he's the one who fills you with his Holy Spirit. And when you speak and respond, guess what? You're responding to King Jesus. It is miraculous, but it is not weird, and it is not to be feared. Tongues are a bursting forth of Christ-centered praise. Praise Jesus. Connect with Jesus by faith. Ask Jesus to baptize you in his Holy Spirit, and then respond. Speak out. We're not going to do classes on how to speak in tongues. I can't teach you how to speak in tongues. Don't say I tie my bow tie 10 times fast. Don't say she bought a Honda 10 times fast. We're not promoting that. What are we promoting? We're promoting Jesus. And we're promoting a fresh encounter with Jesus and the infilling of his Holy Spirit. Be open to this encounter. You are not bad if you don't speak in tongues. I came and prayed for to receive the Holy Spirit, and I never spoke in tongues, and I don't know if I got the Holy Spirit or not. Come again. Because every encounter is removing some roadblocks that we all have had from time to time. Come and ask again and come and respond again. In real life, we all have to let God work us through some difficulties. But any time you spend seeking God is worthwhile. God is taking you on his journey. And tongues, we believe, is part of that journey. It is not the end of the journey. It is not even the goal of the journey. Christ is the goal of the journey. So you should have an expectancy, an anticipation, that this beautiful baptism in the Holy Spirit from Christ you will receive. And you get to praise God in a whole new way. You don't have to speak in tongues. That's the wrong mindset. Let's get rid of that mindset. You get to speak in tongues. That's a better mindset. To praise King Jesus in a new way. And I think that's good. This comes easy for some. And for some people, it takes a long time. And that's okay, because we're all in different places. Young girl come forward during the altar call, and she wanted the pastor to pray for her. She had been caught up in a life of drugs and actually practiced witchcraft. She came forward for prayer. She was a Christ follower now, and the pastor said, What can I pray with you about? She said, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The pastor lifted his hand and said, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and she was. Boom. She fell on the floor weeping and crying and praising Jesus and speaking in tongues. Some people have prayed for years and years and years, and it hasn't happened yet. A woman came forward to be prayed for, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and the pastor prayed for her, and she fell down. She fell on her knees. She was weeping, but she was not baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit spoke to the pastor in that still small voice and said, tell the lady she needs to seek forgiveness and let go of unforgiveness. He reached down and leaned down and whispered that to the lady. The lady began to speak out words of forgiveness. I forgive that person. I forgive that person who hurt me. And as she spoke those words, she was baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. So anticipate, for the first time, to be filled with his Holy Spirit, or for the 500th time, for a fresh encounter with his Holy Spirit and with our Lord Jesus Christ. I encourage us to live for Jesus this week. Pray the Apostles' Creed. I gave you that because I wanted to make sure you knew that this was church-centered, and go, that's just for those crazy Pentecostals. I don't know if this has anything to do with the tradition I grew up in. I give you the Apostles' Creed. Pray that this week. And you got to get to the part. You go, He ascended to heaven. There he is, King Jesus. He's Lord Jesus. He is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. There he is again, Lord Jesus. He's ruling and reigning. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. He's king. He can do that. And then you got to say, I believe in the Holy Spirit. So it's even in the creeds. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Everything that's taught in scriptures about the Holy Spirit, I believe in. And then number two, ask Jesus, because he's the baptizer, ask Jesus to baptize you in his Holy Spirit and anticipate that he will do so. If you're baptized today, good. If you're refilled today, good. If you're not, you had an encounter with God today, good. And keep expecting and keep anticipating that God will pour out his Spirit on you. Let us pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, some people here have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit with that initial evidence of speaking in tongues, praising you as Lord and King in that particular way. So we ask right now for those who would ask to be baptized, that they would begin to seek you, to praise you. They would begin to ask you, and they would be filled with your Holy Spirit. Some of us were baptized in the Holy Spirit years ago, decades ago. But over and over again in the book of Acts, it says they were filled and they were refilled and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So all of us today, we ask that you would baptize us in your Holy Spirit. King Jesus, send your Holy Spirit and fill every person so we can praise you as King of Kings, Lord of Lords in a new way, in a fresh way. So we can be empowered to go out and tell people that Jesus is Lord. Send your Holy Spirit. So would you just ask Jesus, if you desire the gift of the Holy Spirit, this gift that Jesus gives, would you just ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit? How much more will he give us this good gift of the Holy Spirit? Lord, baptize everyone. Baptize everyone. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Many times in scriptures, the apostles would lay hands on people as a sign of commissioning. Paul would lay his hands on the Samaritan believers. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So if you'd like for me to stand in the place of as the pastor today, to lay my hands on you, to pray the prayer over your life that you would receive the Holy Spirit, let us all stand. And as we begin to sing, if you would like for me to pray that prayer over you, would you come? If you want to be a fresh filling, you want me to lay hands on you and pray that prayer and believe with you today as the pastor of the church, would you come and we'll pray with you today as we begin to sing? Would you come? Thank you, Jesus. Pour out your Holy Spirit, O God. Pour out your Holy Spirit, O God. Baptize in Jesus' name. Baptize in Jesus' name. Jesus, you are the baptizer. Receive the Holy Spirit afresh and anew.
I can feel the breath of those surrounding. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave. Call. mountains when he speaks. The same power that can calm a raging sea lives in us, lives in us, lives in us, lives in us. We have hope that his promises are true. In his strength, there is nothing we can't do. Yes, we know there are greater things in store. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, lives in us.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's just all begin, all that feel comfortable, just praise Jesus for a few more minutes out loud. Lord Jesus, we praise you today. Lord, we honor you this day. We honor you this day. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. You're welcome in this place. All hail, King Jesus. All hail, Emmanuel. Thank you, Jesus. Baptize every person, O God. Fill every person with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Let it be so, let it be so. Let it be so, Lord. We receive this promise, O God. Thank you, Lord. We receive your promise today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Same power that rose Jesus from the grave.
Let that same Spirit that raised you from the dead live in us this week, Father. Lead us, guide us, direct us, fill us to overflowing with your Holy Spirit this week as we all go our separate ways. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this time together. Now, Lord, I just ask that you would just bless your people. That you would just make your face shine upon your people. You would turn your face towards your people. You would be gracious to every person here, and you would give every person here your peace. for it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.